Don't touch that dial. You're exactly where you want to be. You've landed in Juice Box Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. I think that's my... Oh, sorry, honey. You're right, I got you wrong there, didn't I? I always do that.
It's all right. That's why I didn't want to start talking, because I wasn't turned on. And always, I like being turned on.
You can always just reach over,
which I did.
You can always just reach over.
And turned it on.
Since you're the Little Miss Engineer now, you can just take over the board. I don't even have to do it anymore. So
I don't know
fine.
About that, darling. I need you. I do.
If you do, that's good.
I do need you. I've missed you. I miss my favorite blonde.
I missed being here. I'm not a blonde anymore, though. Which
that's
is
true.
First
You've
time
got
in my
a
life.
Little bit of brunette in there, a little bit of raven black locks, just combed right through. And your
Thank
hair
you.
Is soft.
Thanks to my fabulous hairdresser Rainbow at the Loft for Hair. She's amazing. She is like I've given her card out to so many people, and
I
they're
like
all
the plug.
Thrilled. They're all thrilled. And she did a crazy Joan Jett hairdo on me. So now I actually don't feel blonde. I feel kind of a little bit more subdued, a little bit more brunette. I hope I get treated more fairly like brunettes do and get bought more drinks like brunettes do.
Do you find that brunettes get more drinks?
Yes, they do. And they actually have more serious conversations. And men with glasses tend to approach them more. And I sort of feel a little bit jaded because I've done these experiments with wigs and very real-looking wigs, and I've been treated completely differently.
Oh, really?
When I'm a blonde and when I'm a brunette or a redhead. So, you know what, guys? It's just, can you just go for the authentic person instead of what the head looks like, you know, or the hair.
I don't think they can help it, though. I mean, we're genetically engineered that way. You decide whether or not you like someone within the first 10 seconds that you lay eyes on them. But
That's
I'd be
right.
very...
You're getting so smart being on Juicebox for how many years? How many years now? In a year?
And it's been over a year.
You just know what you're talking about. I don't even have to sort of tell you anymore anything.
Well, that one I did know before, but that's from auditioning and things like that.
That's true. You told me that one before as well in our travels.
Although I would be very curious to see you in a speed dating thing as a brunette or a redhead.
Perhaps
and see
I should
how
try
we do.
It.
We
Perhaps.
May have to bug Charlie about that and get some passes.
That's a good idea. When we were producing the show for tonight, I found your comments and contributions to our conversation that we were doing before the show very enlightening and very intelligent, and I was really impressed. So, listeners, you're in for a treat. I think Caroline's going to be running this one a little bit for us tonight. We're going to be talking all about sex in our city, and that's sort of Vancouver, yes, but other cities. And I'm sure you're going to find what we're talking about tonight quite useful to you and informational, and probably you'll be like, oh, that's true, isn't it? I did that, or that kind of thing. We did it. We're sort of speaking right kind of to the middle. We're talking about stats. We're going to be talking about statistics of sexual behavior, what people are doing, when they're doing it, how they're doing it, and is this all true? And we were juiced up by an article, front page of the Vancouver Sun, front page of the Weekend Sun, pretty substantial location to have a huge layout on, you know, sex in our cities, and an exclusive Metro Vancouver sex survey that was done by Ipsos Reid. Is that right? Ipsos Reid. But, you know, the poll, they only polled 1,571 people, and we don't know who those people are. So really, the research is not as solid as I'd like to be able to be reporting on. But Ipsos Reid was saying, you know, that they had asked, that's a pretty good sized number, but where did they get them from?
Exactly.
Did they get them from everywhere across the Lower Mainland? Did they get them mostly from
Surrey?
Where did the respondents come from?
Or Whistler, where there's more men than women?
Right. I think they probably went in Lower Mainland, which doesn't include Whistler, but it is a small sample. I think that The Sun published a four-page article on the results. I saw this paper when I was on my way out to San Francisco, where Caroline was graciously covering the show for me, and I thought, well, we're going to definitely have to talk about this on Juicebox. So I kept it until we got together tonight, and I haven't even looked at it until we got together. And so we've reviewed it, and we have some comments. Let me tell you, do we have some comments? We're going to be discussing them. And feel free to call in if you'd like.
And you can do that at 604-822-2487. That's 604-CITR.
Mm-hmm.
604-UBC-CITR.
Thank you.
One of these days I'll get that right, but at least this time I'm correcting myself. But let's start off with this study. I think it's really, really, really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how much sex? With who? Where? And what are we using?
Right.
So what part of that should we start with,
Everything
Julia?
You always wanted to know about your own sexual habits, and we're not afraid to ask, is what the headline says. I think that's pretty funny. So how much sex, right? The average, people are having the average amount of sex 4.3 times in the past month. So what they asked was, this was the average that they found, and really, I'd say probably the biggest amount was 3 to 5 or 6 to 10 times, and that was sort of the majority of people. I think that's pretty good. I'd say 3 to 5 times. I mean, it's not bad. I mean, that's like once a week to 3 times a week, and that was about 40% of people. You know, once a week to 3 or 4 times a week. That's pretty good.
I think that's pretty good.
That's pretty healthy. If you're having sex once a week, I think you're doing pretty good. If you're having sex more than once a week, you're doing really well. That's my opinion. But it was surprising that there was 1 or 2 times a month was sort of 17. There was 37% that had none.
That's me.
So 40% of people weren't having any sex. I thought,
there could be more of us that are celibate than we thought out there.
I thought, maybe, is there more people that are celibate, or is it that we're all just lonely or picky, or what's going on? There's not enough sex ed happening. People are afraid. There's some people not getting together. I don't know what it is.
Well, some people choose not to. Some people don't want to. Some people are too busy, and some people are waiting for it, and some people choose not to because of religious reasons.
That's true. There are a lot of religious. So what this speaks to me is the respondents. So the people that actually responded to the questionnaire. That's what that tells me, is that there's that many people, 55% that are having it one time or none a month. So I'd say that speaks to maybe they're asking people that just aren't, either religious people or older people, infirmants in the hospital that they happen to be grabbing. Anyway, no. Okay, so yeah.
With the how much sex, if I remember correctly, there was something in there in regards to about men having sex in terms of women and who's having more sex. Where was that in there? I remember reading that. So we were talking about that movie, American Pie, remember earlier, where there was
the figures about how many you've had, how many partners you've had?
That's what it was. Yeah. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead then.
Okay, so basically what they're talking about is that, you know, people are talking about the average number of partners that they've had, and that number was incredibly low for both men and women. And I know because I've read so much research, and this is obviously just one small respondent number, but what is it? Sorry. The average partners were 14, and that's over a lifetime. So 1 in 3 respondents said that they had more than 10. One partner, so they've had 14% said they'd had one partner, 17% said they'd had 2 to 3, and 21% had said they had 4 to 6. So that's like 40, 50, 60. That's only 60% that have had less than 6 partners.
Wow.
And I'd say that's bullshit. Because people I think are lying. Men are kind of upping their confabulation. They're lying because they're sort of saying that men tend to admit that they've had more.
Mm-hmm.
And women tend to say that they've had less.
And they're joking about that. That's the rule of three. They're mentioning that on American Pie, actually, the second one. So just always subtract whatever a guy, if you ask him, how many people have you slept with? And he says 20. Divide and just take off 3. So he's actually slept with 17. Whereas if you ask, say, one of us, how many people we slept with, and we say 3, yeah, add 3, at least.
Interesting that you say 3 versus 20 just from the beginning of that conversation with men having 20 and women having 3.
Well, with women, it's a numbers game because I think guys like the concept of us being virtuous in some strange way, even though they do like the concept of whore in the bedroom, too.
These conversations get my blood boiling, and I'll tell you why. I think it is the most sex-negative, oppressive, ridiculous crap that goes on in this world, and it still does today, because I'll tell you, half the guys I've dated over the years don't want to hear that I've had more than like 5 or 6.
They don't want to hear.
10 is a lot. And I'm like, are you out of your mind? Put another digit on that, honey, and get real.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I'm 38 years old. I've been a sexually active woman. I haven't been in a 10-year marriage. I've been single almost my entire life. Like, I'm going to be having more than 10, honey, and you got to get over that. Like, it's just...
They don't want to hear
it. It's the most ridiculous thing, and I don't know... it's just like it's from the depths of the Catholic Church. I don't know what's going on, but it really bothers me. It's very oppressive, and it's very unbalanced, and it's really sex negative, and it's ridiculous, and it's immature. So I'm sorry, I'm off my rant now, but wow.
No, it's
and guys are all like, yeah, I've had this many girls, and woo, it's good, you know? Like, it's like, why?
Unfortunately, the double standard still exists. But what I find interesting is they'd rather hear that we've had five or six than none. The whole virginal thing, they are not really into that.
Yeah, guys don't want to be the first ones because they don't want the responsibility. Because they think, oh, God, then they're going to be wanting to marry me. And what if I got them pregnant and I have to marry them and all this stuff? Like, yeah, it's, again, ancient education that people are just so off track.
So if we're having sex, not that much in terms of, it's like, how much sex are we getting now? And I guess it's in regards to relationship status as well. Because if you're in a committed relationship, it's 8.1 times in a month. 8.1 times in a month. Interesting.
So that's twice a week. That's pretty good.
That's pretty standard.
Twice a month if you're single and almost five times if you're married. So the married people are doing it half as much as the people that are just in a committed relationship but aren't married. The married and the people that are living together are doing it about once a week.
Interesting.
And the single people are still getting in there every couple of weeks, which is pretty good. That's a typical cycle of horniness as well, though.
I wonder if that's because...
And the committed ones that aren't married to each other are doing it twice a week.
I think it might be perhaps because when you live with somebody, they're there all the time. But when you're coming over to someone's house...
It's a treat that you're visiting.
Yes, and you want to have sex as much as possible because you might not see them for a few days and you might have to resort to masturbation.
That's right.
Apparently the only reason that... Well, the top reason that people masturbate is to relax. But even still... I don't know, sometimes
not the top reason for relaxing. The top reason is to ease sexual tension.
Okay.
Almost 75% of people go to ease it. But no, there's a 26 for women, 33% for men that want to relax. That's why they masturbate. But it's usually the 75% to relieve sexual tension.
Fair enough.
And that's always why I do it. I do it maybe 5% of the time I ever do it is because I want to relax. It's usually because I'm desperately in need of an orgasm. Didn't you want to know that about your sex educator, Julia, on Juicebox Radio here? All right, so it's interesting because there's a satisfaction thing, and is it enough? You know, and part of this article series at the Sun was really about are people wanting more sex. Apparently, people are saying that they want more sex; they're not getting enough. Most people wish they were having more. 66% wish that they were having more. And women, 60% of women practically, 75% of men wanted more. So that means they're not satisfied. There's not a lot of satisfaction happening around in their current sex life. So what are we going to do about that? I think that's our job. I think we need to do something, Caroline.
Well, I think we should have more workshops.
I think we need to have blowjob workshops.
Definitely blowjob workshops. We've been saying it. I've only taught one so far, and it was quite highly illuminating.
Oh, I can't believe you did that without me. I know.
I'm sorry, baby.
Oh,
I did ask you if you could
come. You jump on the horse. You're good.
It was just the mother-daughter that freaked me out. Where the mother started going on and on about her husband's sex life, and the daughter was like, Mother, please stop.
Oh, my God. Okay, you guys. Listeners, this was a wedding stagette. So mom was, of course, going to be there. And anyway, good choice. I hope you handled that well as an educator, young lady.
Of course I did.
That's a tough one. I'd be like, now, I know it's hard to imagine your mom having sex, but she did make you. At least she had sex once. She did have sex once.
You're here to prove that.
So
the thing in regards to satisfaction, what are they saying in regards to satisfaction according to this article? Let's see, 60% satisfied, but total unsatisfied is 40%. You're right, we do really, really need to do that.
The thing I found interesting in this Ipsos Reid survey was that the majority of people that are pretty well off, so $50,000 per year or more, so they're doing okay, middle class, and then more than $80,000 are, you know, doing even better as far as being satisfied with their current sex life. Why do you think that is, Caroline?
Well, probably because either A, they've got more time.
Mm-hmm. Because they're not trying to just get a roof over their head for their three kids and working at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Or they need to relax. So they're going to go and have sex so they can get their rocks off so they can go to sleep after working really long hours. Or perhaps they're bored.
Do themselves up and look really good and go and get some drinks or whatever makes them relax and or go try the sex toys or go to the thing. You know, they've got all this money to just play.
Yeah.
So time to play. And so... motivation to play. And so that's one of the things of being well off enough is that you have time and money to do these things. So it's not surprising that they're more satisfied because they're able to have more freedom to express their sexuality, right?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Instead of just sort of doing the desperate, like, okay, all I have is my hand and about 10 minutes between shifts to take care of things.
Although, you know, quickies can be kind of fun sometimes.
Oh, it's so sad. Now, okay, so is that it? Young and married? Young and married have it all, basically. The young and mostly unmarried. So the 18 to 34-year-olds, they're having it all. They're doing it in public places, over the phone, people they met online. It's just crazy. They're the most sexually active, of course. I don't think we're very surprised by that.
No, we're not at all.
The 35 to 54-year-olds, though, they've got this. They sort of started the free love era. And then in the late 60s, these people that were sort of born in the late 60s, like myself, they kept going like crazy with this free love thing till AIDS kind of came crashing down on us in the early 80s. And I remember all of a sudden sex wasn't so free anymore. But I remember when it was very free still. Mm. And the numbers tell a story of the sort of liberal values and the experimentation that was happening in this age group. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the 35 to 54-year-olds, they are still probably the most satisfied sex partner people in the world because they know what they want. Mm-hmm. They know how to communicate for it. Their bodies are still functioning well, and they're having... What's that? What are you pointing at?
Oh, no, I just wanted to just double-check what that age range was.
It's right here.
Thank you, darling.
So the demographic is, as I'm saying, it's just kind of, it's the middle of the road. I think they're actually going to be doing better. They may be having more sex when they're younger, but they're having better sex when they're older, and I don't think there's a lot of surprise there.
Practice makes perfect.
Right. Now, the older set, the 55-plus group, they surprise us because, you know, they may not be doing all this crazy, like, outdoor stuff all the time, although 77% of them have done it outdoors.
I hope they have by that age.
Of course. They didn't invent doing it in the sunshine, I'm sure, like, right? It's like, you know, young people didn't invent that. So obviously, you know, the older people are doing it as well. But one of the things that they are doing more and more is that they're having sex with a married person. They've cheated or had sex with a married person more than any other age group. And that's not surprising because I'd say most people over 55 have been married or are married or something. Whatever. And so those are their sex partners are the ones that are they're older. One of the things that was not in this poll that I know about and that we thought would be an interesting thing for...
I thought that was really interesting when you mentioned that earlier.
Is that the people over 60 out there that's where the highest STI rates are raising up. Obviously, they're not getting pregnant anymore at that age, but there's a huge rise in STIs in the age 60s, not because they don't know how to use condoms.
They've never had to.
And so they're just spreading things all over, and they don't have any sex education. They've had zero sex education.
You're also making that comment about hookers or sex workers earlier.
Sex workers, and then, of course, the odd usual male spreads this around to his older partners, and then they spread it around to their partners, and it's just been rampant. So it's not necessarily just from, say, sex trade workers, but that's where they're thinking it's leaked in through from, because the age 60s and up, they've been married, and if they're having sex with just each other, there was no very small amount of numbers there. So I think we have a caller. What's going on here? Welcome to Juicebox Radio. Thanks for calling. Hello. Do you want to get on the air? Oh, honey, can you press the button? Did we lose you? Okay. I
Are they there?
Call back when you have a second caller. I'm sure it's... Did you drop? Okay, they're calling back, honey. Now, let's hope it's not just looking for... You have to pick the phone up, don't you?
Hello, you're on air. At least I hope you're on air.
You have to press the on-air button. There you go.
Are you on air now? I don't know if I can hear them.
No, you can't hear them. I love this engineering. It's so much fun.
I apologize. And as you said, I'm good at it. No, definitely not.
Okay.
So one more time.
You pick the phone up, honey. You pick the phone up.
Yes.
And take it and put it down. And I'll put the thing on. And you just say hello. And you press the on-air button on there, okay? The top one. To drop them. Drop, drop, drop.
There we go.
Sorry, caller. You can try again.
Sorry, darling.
All right. So tonight's show is all about sex in our city. Yes, we are talking about the We were talking about the old people and how they get into the SPD.
I was also curious. Sorry. Old people having sex. Yes, because you don't have to worry about getting pregnant. It's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, makes what I'd be free. Curious about is perhaps they don't get tested for STIs as often because they're embarrassed about it.
Well, the doctors don't even think to test them, for one. And 70% of STIs don't show any symptoms. So how would you know you even have them?
Yeah, so go I think ahead. We've got a caller. So pick up.
And thanks for calling. You're on the air. Hello. Oh, thanks for calling. You're on the air. All right, are we hearing you?
Is this working?
I don't know what's going on.
Me neither.
It's really annoying me.
Hello?
No, it's fine. Okay, I don't know why
I
we can't work it out.
To
do you want to do what? Do you want to do what you did last time that worked, honey?
I'm trying to remember what I did last time that worked, but did work. We're
Maybe because I've got phone one on. I've not got phone one on. I was doing phone two and three.
Julia.
Okay. Well, caller, if you do try again, I promise we won't hang up on you because we finally figured out what we've done wrong. So
in regards to it, I find it really interesting. It's true. But you think that now that people are becoming more aware that the STIs are spreading, hopefully they'll start testing for that more.
Yeah, I think it's really important that nobody wants to talk about older people having sex.
We don't want to think about our grandparents having sex.
And I'll tell you something. I'm producing the next Juicebox Salon. It's on its way, listeners. It is going to be arriving in Vancouver November 15th. I'm very excited about it. And part of the lecture in my salon this time is very much about that subject.
Really?
And we have quite a treat. A 70-year-old plus, hopefully, male, coming to do a bit of a demonstration. So
what kind of demonstration?
Never mind. This is the part of the salon.
This is the time to plug it, darling.
You have to come and find out yourself. Be in the audience. There's a limited ticket, so we'll tell you lots more about that as the weeks come by. But it is November 15th. Hold your date. Make sure that you have that one available. It's a Thursday. People don't want to think about it. And I'm sorry, but for me, just as I think of very young people as sexual people, and people don't like to think about children as being sexual people, old people as well are sexual people. You know, there's a gamut. Now, I'm not saying I don't want the old people and the young people to keep the babies to get together, but it's okay for babies to touch themselves. It's okay for little children to experiment with each other. That is perfectly natural, normal, and healthy. And we are so full of shame and trying to stop the young people from experimenting and getting to know their bodies and getting to know their little friends' bodies and doing these things like what they see adults doing in culture, like, you know, smelling each other's genitals or something. And we freak out. You know, and it basically instills so much shame in these young children about what is supposed to be a healthy, happy exploration of their bodies and of their peer groups' sexuality. So anyway, more about that at the salon or on another Juice Box Radio date. But, but you know, old people, I think it's great. I love it when
I have crushes on old people. Sean Connery.
And I can think of some others.
Yes, I know you can.
Anyway,
but we won't go there today.
So the thing about this poll, and Caroline and I talked about this in the car, and the thing that's true about so much of this is that it's really easy to lie.
I didn't see Val there for a second.
It's really easy to lie about sex.
Yes.
People lie all the time. About the sex they're doing, about what they're not doing, about what they want, about what they don't want, all of that stuff. As you can imagine in a survey, they're going to totally blow up what it is they're doing or not doing because it's like easy to do that when you're hiding behind a paper, which is one of the reasons I just want to finish my statement about what we're saying in the car is that Kinsey did a really good job of that because he did face-to-face interviews. And it's very difficult to lie to people right to their face. Some of us are better at it than others. Car salesmen, people that want to do people that are like, you know,
sales in general
and other types of situations, lawyers perhaps or something, where people are really good at not really telling the whole truth, full disclosure, et cetera.
I think all of us are really good at that, actually.
But I think we're all pretty good liars. I think most of us can manage to get by with little white lies quite easily. We're trained to be good white liars.
And I think it's
from when we're little. Don't hurt anybody.
Don't hurt anybody. That's exactly.
Be good. Be nice.
Be kind.
Be kind. So we can. We have to learn to lie.
Well, we do learn to lie, but at some point we got to take that back and stop lying, so that we don't hurt ourselves. Because sometimes we lie at the price of our own self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes
white lies,
we do that. Like, yes, I had an orgasm today. Oh, yes. Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's the worst lie you could tell, telling somebody you had an orgasm. I lied about my orgasms not in the last few months. I've been lying lately.
See, I haven't had any for a long time, but I haven't had sex this year either. So there we go. But with that, stop laughing at me, Julie.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can't give a straight face. Anyways,
you got the giggles, my darling.
Lying comes easily in sex talk. And so I don't know how much I can believe this Ipsos Reid poll as far as what they say about how many partners they've had, who they're having sex with, what they're doing. But we're going to share with you anyway
what
they
found. Who are they having sex with?
Yes, who are they having sex with? Let's talk about this after the break because we have a fabulous second half of the show. We have all kinds of dirty things, the taste for adventure that all of us are so keen to try, and yet most of us don't. So we're going to find out how many of us do, and we're going to talk about what those little adventures are all about.
And how many of us don't really want to. We'll be right back.
We're going to take a short break. Keep that dial locked. We welcome your calls during this time. We promise we'll get it right. Call us back.
604-822-CITR.
That's right. And we are, during this little tiny break,
we're going to actually be playing Carol Pope, and we're going to be playing the song Seduction. Hmm. It's her new album, and it's called Transcend. And in case you haven't, there's that song that came out when we were in high school called High School Confidential. And I always thought it was a man singing. I didn't realize it was a woman who, Val from... was actually, as we drop it, was mentioning she used to date Dusty Springfield, which I find absolutely
Val,
wild.
Val, right on.
Because, no, Val didn't date Dusty Springfield. Carol Pope, this is how rumors get started.
Carol Val's like running in, no. Okay, anyway, so enjoy Carol Pope and enjoy your little break. We will be right back. You're in Juice Box, featured on Vancouver CITR 101.9 FM.
Can't On Sunday, October 28th, 2007, at 3 p.m., Kokoro Dance will present Heart, Mind, Spirit, and Soul. Critically acclaimed Kokoro Dance combines kinetic and visual elements from Japan and the West to create a uniquely Canadian Buto aesthetic. The company has produced over 900 performances and created more than 150 dance works that have been performed across Canada, in the United States, and in Europe. With Carolyn Chan and Holly Holt, this concert is presented as the second in our Sunday series of three dance and music performances entitled Stimulating the Senses, Music and Movement at MOA. That's Kokoro Dance performing Heart, Mind, Spirit and Soul on Sunday, October 28th at 3 p.m. For more information, please visit www.moa.ubc.ca.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we're back. Welcome back to Juice Box Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. And this is all about your taste for adventure.
Sex in our cities. Yes. Yes, yes. And the second half of the show tonight, we are talking all about, yes, those tastes and adventure. Those things that you want to try and you never have.
And that was Carly Pope.
Yes, it was. It was a very good song, actually.
It was a very good song. I still can't believe that that's a woman, even though I did see her in person when I was in Toronto, actually, which blew me away. She was awesome. In Urban Planet, and it was just like, oh, my goodness, that's Carol Pope. She's, like, totally cool, and she's here, and she's Canadian, and she freaking rocks.
She's a Canadian, and this is her from her most recent record, Le Petit Mort Records, 2007, right out of Toronto. And it's from record Transcend from the studio, Le Petit, whatever.
I think it's sexy. So we are talking about sex in our city.
Before we do that, though, we've got juice berries. Yes. And I was desperately looking for the my Gmail thing from John Richardson of Pivot Legal Society, because I think he spoke about a passion for justice, which is the fifth annual Pivot auction that's happening. It's November 8th from 6 to 9 on Thursday. It's in the law courts, which he specifically spoke as being quite delicious. The first time a burlesque has taken place inside the courthouse, I'll bet. And that is the guy who started it all.
At Pivot Director.
Legal, executive director
and founder. Legal,
and founder, thank you. A man I dated, I should know better, of Pivot Legal Society, which is dedicated to promoting social justice through strategic legal action. Pivot believes that everyone in society, regardless of income, benefits when values such as opportunity, respect, and equality are strongly rooted in the law. And I think it's an amazing, very important fundraiser. The Screaming Chickens are going to be there, a comedy burlesque. They're incredible. We've had them on Juice Box before. They're funny. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping next year we're going to have an illusionist extraordinaire as well, Rick Mearns. And so I think, you know, this live silent auction, fabulous Christmas gifts out of that. It's some food will be served. It's licensed. It's going to be amazing, limited capacity. Caroline and I will be there.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It'll be a lot of fun.
And it's for a good cause.
Mm-hmm, a very good cause. So hopefully
it does some really great work. They actually profiled Beauty Night, actually, in their calendar that they did last year. They give a lot of the people in the downtown east side the cameras, and they get to take pictures of different things that are going on there. So they did a little bit about that, so they get to promote other organizations and some great works. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty neat. And then they get to sell the calendars, which raises money for the organization and also gives some money in the pockets for some of those people who are dealing with homelessness, poverty. It's people who are marginalized and disfranchised. So it's really important.
It's great what they do at Pivot. I'm very, very proud of what they do. So we're hoping to have Carlina or Carla. She's one of the lawyers on the case for sex trade workers. And so I'm hoping and praying that she might be on Juice Box next week,
which would be fantastic,
with one of the Screaming Chicken people.
We're hoping for Melanie.
Really? I put an email into Joan to Gyoza, to little Miss Gyoza, Joni Gyoza.
Nice.
I'm hoping that she might come in. If not, Melody Mangler hopefully will come in from the Screaming Chicken. So it should be a good show. It would be great if they came. I'm sure I can pull my Juice Box
strings
and
pull them tight.
One of them in here. And our beautiful, beloved Melody, Malaika Millions of the fundraiser that we went to last.
The Happy Birthday Fuck Uterus.
Fuck Uterus thing. Malaika and I have been in contact lately, and she said she did quite well. She's resting up for her surgery soon, and just wanted to say, hello, everyone. Thank you so much for your wonderful support and my beautiful birthday. It was really quite amazing, and I had a good party.
Did you get a piece of her pie?
I got a piece of her pie, and she has got me up on her MySpace.
Really?
It doesn't look like me, but I'm coming out of her crotch in that picture. It is me with the pink hair, please.
I didn't even recognize you with the pink hair. You came up and hugged me, and I had no idea who this human was.
Yes.
And then I heard your laugh, and I was like, okay, that's the Julia I know.
That happens all the time. Whenever I wear wigs, people do not recognize me. It's fabulous. I can hide out. If I really wanted to be super, super famous, I know that I could hide out and be okay.
Well, I love it. So you are going to definitely have to wear the black and red.
Excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. So Malaika sent me this and said, will you please put this up, this ad around volunteers needed at the Queer Comedy Show. Now, if any of you were at her fundraiser, it was fabulous. They had a comedic group come and do a bit of a piece of
Have
I thought they were really
stuff.
Cute. I
That's
liked
good.
Them.
I'm glad you did.
So whether you're good with computers, own a truck, play an instrument like power tools, or just a people person, Bob Loblaw QC2 needs you. They need your help for basically running the show every Wednesday from 7:30 to 9:30. It's downtown at the Jupiter Lounge. It'll be a great night of laughs every week. They do this on Wednesday nights, the queer comedy show. So I think it'll be good to go. If you want to get into comedy, if you want to get into all that stuff, it's a good place to start. If you need some volunteer hours for that.
It's good to volunteer and support
volunteering
people.
Is important,
so I
period.
Think it's really great.
Speaking of volunteers, we yes. need volunteers, don't we, Caroline?
We do. Julia and I are both on the board for Beauty Night Society, mm-hmm. and we need lots of volunteers because we've got our a new center, and we are also helping sex workers in the downtown east side, survival sex workers, so people who have chosen to do it because of poverty as opposed to because they have chosen to do it as a career, so it's a little mm-hmm. different. Mm-hmm. But as well as that, we're also doing our annual Christmas stocking drive, so clean out your drawers of new samples of cosmetics, skincare, hair care, all that lovely stuff, because we've got Ms. Claus, so we are going to need a couple drag queens to come out to a couple of the beauty nights that we've got planned for December, where they get all dolled up and the women get to get their pictures taken with them, and it'll be very, very, very wonderful. Which I wonder if we could ask Malaika, actually, because she said she'd like to do drag when she's recovered.
Yeah,
because that might be interesting. Actually,
hopefully she will be. Hopefully she'll be in good shape and she can come down and help us out.
As well as that, on.
What else are you doing, young
what
lady?
What else am I doing? I'm teaching a lap dance workshop this Friday. So if you've ever wanted to redress your man, because some guys
or woman,
that's true, and you want to dress them in a shirt and tie, go out and buy that shirt and tie you want to give to them, and I'll teach you how to take it off, because usually the best way to present it to them is on the floor after it's fallen off your body.
The present you buy for them, you put it on?
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Because it has smell like your pheromones, so it'll be very nice,
very
if you know
good,
what I mean.
Very good.
So that is at Aradia Fitness. If you want to check that out, it's aradiafitness.com in Vancouver, and that's Friday night. As well as that, the following Friday night, I'm producing an event called the Tickle Trunk Party. So you get to pick out whatever you want from your tickle trunk, if you know what I mean, and wear it. Ooh, I like that. Hi, Julia.
She gets the condom
on. Slide the condom on.
She gets the condom for a while. We'll see how that goes.
Thank you, darling.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, basically just getting dolled up and getting to check out some really cool pole dance acts. It's going to be a lot of fun. And that's the 26th.
I think this is really neat what you're doing lately. I've noticed on Facebook you've been doing all these little parties all the time. I haven't been to one, but you had 50 people coming on the bus trying to dressed as little schoolgirls going downtown and ravaging brandies.
It was so highly entertaining.
Yes, and so I've heard you've had some pretty doozies, and I'm really impressed with you.
Thank you. We've had people hanging upside down on the bus and people cheering. I'll never forget that. I had one student actually in her little schoolgirl flip herself upside down grabbing those, what are those things called that you have on the sides of the buses where you hold on
little
to
handles.
Yes, and okay. She held herself upside down while we were going over the ground with
Mystery Bridge.
This is what you learn when you do pole dancing.
Don't learn that on pole dancing. One of my students almost kicked some poor guy in the crotch when she held herself horizontal from the ground.
Dangerous.
But back to Sex in the City. Is a little bit of Sex in the City. Let's get back to the study.
It is.
Who are we having sex with?
Well, 91% of the people that were polled have had sex before marriage.
I hope so.
Thank goodness. Thank the goddess that that's happening.
If I married the guy I lost my virginity to, man, I'd be a miserable woman.
I think you just wouldn't know what's going on out there.
No.
It'd be worse than having sex with yourself your entire life, I think.
That's true. Although, interestingly, they found, where was that result there?
Fewer partners brings better smiles. Yeah. So, yes, can you explain this? Because you explained it very well, and I didn't understand it. You had to re-explain it to me.
Well, thank you. Well, they're saying that if you have fewer partners, you're more satisfied. And I think it's because you're not comparing them to other people you've slept with. So, for example, if there's a guy, say, I had a friend of mine who had described this one man who went down on them and just really, really liked it. He had a tongue piercing.
He had a special way that nobody else has really managed to get.
She thinks
of him. That's 1 millimeter of perfection,
No, it's true. And it's like when you've had perfection, it's really hard when you have somebody else going down there and sawing away at it. It's just not as...
Sawing away.
Well, sometimes I do with that tongue. It's the tongue tornado.
You got to teach me with these things, the sawing away method.
I think I've made Julia laugh.
Oh my lord, that was good. The visual. We need a video cam
in
the box.
This is why I'm not a lesbian, darling. I wouldn't know how to go down on anybody. Although I know that would be a way not to go down on somebody because I've had that done way too many times.
Wow. Well, a good friend of mine was down in San Francisco who got dumped from the guy that invited her down there and then ended up hooking up with a couple of hot lesbians at the recompression party in San Francisco.
And hello. How did that go?
And they took her home and did a Nikita on the thing.
I love the Nikita.
Got all the stuff out of the hotel room and took all the toiletries and then basically spent the night having great sex with these lesbians. This friend of mine, she finally had a huge fantasy of being with a lesbian, but not just one, two. This friend didn't even have that two in her mind. It was just one lesbian that she wanted to be with. So
now she's
about
had
a story.
Threesome with two.
Now she's had this and she can put this notch in the belt. But speaking of past partners and things, this was, this person had told me that they had the best oral sex they've ever had. Plus, these lesbians knew what they were doing with the strap-on. So really, it was almost better than having sex with men. And so this friend of mine was telling me that it's kind of like, now that I've had the other side, I feel almost like, and without the scratchy mouth and, the scratchy beard and the soft lips and the techniques that were perfected because the women themselves have a yoni. And so this friend of mine may return to the female side of the persuasion as far as relationships goes. But this is
all
we don't know. We don't know.
But I want to have a drink with your friend.
What a story.
I think that's a pretty incredible story. I think that's awesome.
A good story.
One of these days, maybe I'll indulge, but I actually like the scratchy beard quite a bit, so it's pretty difficult.
I like the cock.
I love the cock, too, but I haven't had it for a very long time.
I'm big on the warm, throbbing penis myself.
It's a very, very, very wonderful thing, but I only like it in relationships, which on that note, 60% of people have had casual sex, i.e. sex outside a committed relationship. I'm surprised it's that low, actually.
I think 100% of people have had casual sex, but they just don't want to admit it again.
They're religious people, though.
Right, that's true.
And there's some people who marry young.
Right. Casual sex. What is casual sex? That's a good question. See, you don't see these things in these polls, right? You don't see the description of what is described as casual sex. I mean, it says outside of a committed relationship, but...
How committed are we talking?
I mean, exactly. You go on 10 dates with somebody. Are you committed? Is that casual? I wouldn't think so. It's like you've gone on 10 dates with a person.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly casual. Like, casual is like first date, second date.
I could understand that if that was a one-night stand kind of thing.
Yeah, interesting. You have to look in between the lines with these things.
Mm-hmm.
So having sex with someone you don't know or you just met, 50% of people.
So see, 10% of people are lying about
it. They're all a bunch of whores. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I've just never done it, so that's why I'm all like on my high horse about that. But no, I think it's perfectly healthy and fine. Just make sure you use safer sex. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and have sex with people blind you've never met without even looking at them. I mean, people do that. They just stick their units, their genitals, their genitals through a hole, and somebody sucks or fucks it. So that's having sex with someone you've never met, actually.
And having sex with a casual friend, what is the percentage there? 40%.
Having casual sex with a friend, 46%. That's 46. A lot. I personally have had a lot of sex with casual sex with friends, but I don't count it as, it's like friends with benefits. And so for me, it's sort of in a committed relationship because you're committed to being friends.
Yeah, I think it depends because, I mean, there's ex-sex, which I suppose would be casual sex with a friend because you're supposed to right. be, we're just friends now.
Right, you're not, I don't know. It's a gray area. We really do create these weaves of deception and delusion around most of the things that we talk about in life, around sex anyway, for sure. I think we're probably more deluded about sex than anything else. That's my personal opinion.
And 40% of people have had sex with someone you work with.
Where are you doing this thing with the sex with the work with?
On people? The photocopier. That's why there's all those naked bum photocopies that you always hear about.
That's why the photocopier starts getting dirtier and dirtier and you have to clean it.
That's why it never works and you're always having to call in the repairman. Boom, chick-a-chick-chick, boom, chick-a-chick-chick. I can't do porn music.
40% have had sex with a married person to whom they were not married.
But did they know this at the time?
That's a good question. These are morals and values that I wish people would be holding up. We wouldn't be having cheatings and heartbreaks and stuff if one of your values was that you don't sleep with people that are married.
Or if that married person actually tells you that they're married.
Well, they don't.
Or
that's
not
what
married.
I'm saying, right? And tell people that you're married. Please wear your ring, whatever. Be honest, everybody.
And if you have an open relationship, be honest about it.
Right.
Don't lie and say you have an open relationship when you don't.
38% of people have had sex with someone who are significantly older than them. What does that mean? Significantly older meaning what? More than 6 years? More than 10? More than 20?
I don't know if I've... No.
Significantly older probably means maybe 5. I don't know. For some people, who knows what that means? For some people, it's like 10 is significantly older. For some people, 20 is. So I
think it depends on how old you are when you're getting pulled, because when I was 19, somebody who was 27, that would be significantly older. Mm. Whereas now, somebody who's maybe about 45, I might consider that. But even then, that's only 10 years. That's not that much of a difference.
I don't know, yeah. I don't know. I'd put it in a 15. That's significantly older.
15?
Had sex with someone you first met online. That one's going up, 19%.
I think it should be higher.
I think it's a lot higher. I don't think that's right.
Although, you know what? Remember when we did that show on online, they were saying that that only, I can't remember what the percentage was, but it was fairly low, people actually meeting off of the computer because more people were on it for entertainment value as opposed to actually meeting face-to-face meetings. So I could believe that because of that. And some of the people I've met offline are pretty scary. Sorry. And I've met some good ones too.
Right. Well, what I thought was kind of interesting was this 19% have had sex with multiple partners at the same time. I think that's pretty high. I'm not personally in my group of friends, but I think it was I was pretty impressed. I was like, hey, good for you guys getting out there having sex with multiple partners in front of people. Good job. The other one was that these heterosexual respondents, 15% of them have had a same-sex experience. Doesn't that make you bisexual?
No.
I think it does.
I don't think it does. I think it means you've experimented.
Sorry. I think it does. No. Anyway, bi.
I think it depends how old you were when you'd had it.
If you're open to doing it and you ended up doing it and you never do it again, I still think you're bi.
Really?
You may be living in a hetero world or a homo world, some kind of monosexual world where you're just doing men or just doing women. But I think if you've had the experience or that's my bias.
Okay, so ex-boyfriends who have let other boys suck them off at parties are bisexual, is what you're saying
sure.
to me.
Yeah, maybe okay. They're not practicing bisexuals at the moment.
But they are bisexual.
But they're, you know, it might be more of like a bisexual like comfort with certain men that they feel comfortable about it, and then they kind of explore that in themselves and feel comfortable. It still means that they're open to doing this, that they're interested, maybe not all the time, maybe not that with everybody, whatever, but there's still some element in there of bisexual. bisexuality, but there's or homosexuality or whatever.
Okay, but there's also lesbians and gay men that have had sex with somebody of the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. So would you say they're bisexual?
Yes, I would.
Really?
Yes, I would. They want to label themselves as homosexual. They're in a homosexual. They're not practicing their heterosexuality at that time. But if you practice heterosexuality or you know, you practice both hetero and homo, it puts you in the bi category. I'm sorry. That's my bias. I think that these people need to stop condoning, I mean, stop ostracizing bisexual behavior and practices in the world, which so many homosexual people do many heterosexual people do. They have a real problem with bisexuals, and it really starts to get on my nerves because I can't tell you how many lesbians I have talked to that every single one of them likes a good cock once in a while, and they get it. So, I'm sorry, but this hypocritical, like, judgmental, you know, and men, I know so many men who want to suck a cock. I can't even tell you.
Really?
And they're total heterosexuals. They practice heterosexuality. They speak, they don't ever speak about it to anybody but me. I just end up hearing all about it all the time. And I think to myself, why are the bisexuals of the world getting such a bad rap? It's just really beyond me. I'm thinking, why are we so afraid of sharing our sexuality with someone of the same sex or opposite sex, depending on where we stand in this world of, like, I'm a heterosexual, I'm a homosexual, you know, like, I'm not going to cross any lines, I'm going to be dedicated to this one camp. And it's like, well,
I think it depends on what your definition of sex is as well, because to me, I don't consider it sex unless it's penetration. Actual penetration. So
if you ended up being with a woman and you had full kissing, sucking all over the body, and then you did, like, fingers and going down on them with your mouth, you wouldn't consider that sex?
I don't know, actually, to be honest with you.
Penetrating them with your fingers and going down them with your mouth.
Because to me, that's just foreplay.
Interesting. We should talk more about this another show. All right. So we're on to more Tastes of Adventures that the sex
I'm kind of in the Clinton camp. Where I don't consider it sex unless there's penetration. Because a blowjob is not sex as far as I'm concerned. My brother and I have had this discussion.
What?
It's true.
I don't consider a blowjob sex. I'm a sex educator in the system, and I'll tell you that these little young kids, they need to know that a blowjob is sex.
It's not, though.
And it causes STIs. Okay. And there's emotional and social implications to oral sex.
But you can't get pregnant from it.
Maybe not unless you put the spooge on your bits. No. Do I talk like that in class? No. All right. So let's get on with what are we doing. We were talking about who we're having sex with now. What are we doing? Which, if any, of the following have you ever done?
Well, let's see.
This is in the Supernatural British Columbia. 78% of humans have done it outdoors. Caroline and I were talking about it. Even in the cold? It's so cold in Canada. Well, 78% have done it.
But this is in
Vancouver.
But do
the tents count? I don't think tents count. Tents do not count in my books at all. So if any of you respondents have said yes and you've done it in a tent, that doesn't count.
But there's a lot of people I'd be curious to see, because they did say later on that 18 to 34, they tend to be doing more sex at different places, different activities.
Public
and they're
place.
More active.
So in a public place, 53%. I think that's low. 53% say that they had sex in a public place, which means like a back alley, in a movie theater, in a park.
Let's face it, when you're like 16 years old, I don't know about you, but when I was having a makeout
section three.
No, I didn't go to that restaurant. It wasn't around then. But
there is nowhere to have sex. I'm sorry, I'm stealing your thunder
there.
No,
it's true. There is nowhere to have sex. If you've got Catholic parents, where are you going to go?
Where are you going
to
go?
You can either go to Queen Elizabeth Park and have sex in the bushes and worry about bears.
Yeah, no.
Is there bears in Queen Elizabeth Park?
I don't think so.
Okay, so I guess that was a worry that
but
I didn't
whatever,
need to
there's
worry
a lot
about.
Of coyotes. Okay, Caroline and I debated this one as well. Have you had sex using sexual aids or toys? And they said 51%. And I think that's low. But we were like, did you do it with a partner or not?
And it doesn't specify, but that whole chunk, because it's under the category, who are we having sex with? And in terms of if you're...
What are we doing? Using sexual aids or toys? So I would say if it's including people that just had solo sex with a sex toy, that's way too low, 51%.
Agreed. But I think if it's partner sex, yes, because I think it takes time sometimes to get to know somebody where you want to bring in a vibrator.
Yeah.
Or you want to, you know, shove a butt plug up their ass.
No, you know, this friend of mine who went down to San Francisco, the guy asked The guy asked her to bring all of her sex toys with her. And it was like the third time they were seeing each other. And so, of course, she's a good, willing partner. And she brought them all down. And he wanted to use them all on her, you know, the night before he dumped her. So
he's a moron.
Just wondering what kind of jerk this friend of mine was dating and why she would even do that. Is she just a silly, silly woman?
I think she wanted to believe the best. And probably. I think she probably wanted to
marry him.
Mm-hmm. Marry him and teach him a few things. If you know what I mean.
Poor Mormon. Anyway, okay, so.
Yeah, well, there you go, right there. What's she doing dating a Mormon?
I don't
know. Like, honestly, it's one of those things.
It's a Burning Man thing. I think people do these things at Burning Man. They lose their minds and they do these things.
Well, it's one of those things in terms of dating somebody of a different religion. It's just like, I understand, you know, but if you're not, if she's not Mormon, why is she dating a Mormon?
Well, she was, she told me she was doing it for research purposes. Research purposes.
Love it. Had he been with anybody
and the
else?
Mormons,
is the question.
The Mormons are still knocking on her door, and they're all very hot, apparently, I've heard.
Really?
Yes. So the Good Book of Mormon is being read currently, and there will probably be an upcoming show on it because I want to have her in as a guest.
I think that'd be really nice to have her in as a guest.
We'll have to change your voice. All right.
We'll have to get the lesbians. We'll get the lesbians in there. We'll have one of those strange things from Scream.
It was really hot when this one put the strap on.
I let the strap on.
Oh my God, okay.
A little taste of Halloween.
You know, speaking of Halloween, we're almost out of time and we'll be talking about our next couple of shows in a few minutes, but because we don't have Hans Claus is not coming in.
We can go a little bit over.
Oh, it's so sad. Hans Claus isn't coming in.
I don't get any kisses this week.
I do have to get going really fast, though. So the problem is we don't have time to have fun and just keep going.
That's true.
I'd love to, but we don't have time. So, well, Julia doesn't have time, so I apologize. Pornography with the sex partner, 45%. I was thinking that would be a little bit high because using pornography with a sex partner is something you tend to do later on in the relationship. I think it's something that you kind of, I mean, unless you're one of those people who's just super experimental and like brings the porn out, I don't recommend it, to be honest with you. I think you should wait because it's kind of like bringing in a new lover. It's like you can learn a lot of things about your partner and what they like and don't like, for sure. That's beneficial. But it's like, are you ready to sort of share yourself with, you know, are you ready to share yourself with that other person and your partner yet? Is the relationship ready? What do you think?
I think if you're sleeping with them, granted, I do wait a while before I sleep with anybody because I'm a geek in that way.
I do too. I think it's a good thing.
With that, I like to wait. And hopefully by the time I'm sleeping with them, I want to tell them about stuff I want to do as they're getting to know me on that level. And sometimes,
so just flip the porn in?
Not the first time I'm going to fuck them, no. But eventually, if I've been seeing them for a while, yeah, I do want to educate them. And sometimes it's easier to do it if there's a piece of pornography. And I think people are more comfortable with pornography now that it's so easily accessible to us. Where, like, even say, like 15 years ago, you had to go to a sex shop to go and buy, like, a porno mag, you know, or you had to go and that. Whereas now, you can just go on your computer and you can get free porn. It's really easy. So I think people in general are getting a little bit more comfortable with it. So it doesn't surprise me it's as high if they're in relationship. But yes, I agree if it's just like a one-night stand. It's like, hey, let's stop, let's turn the computer on and let's pull up some porn. No.
So maybe we can continue this conversation on the next juice box because we are running over time. But I do want to say, you know, as a sexual health educator, I want to recommend to people that they don't rush into this using the other toys thing, doing the role playing, getting the porn in there. All those sort of activities should sort of be secondary to what your foundation is for each other. Tantra is a good place to explore if you want to start going outside of just sort of a regular kind of connecting with each other and sort of seeing how things roll around and communicating what you want and don't want in bed and that kind of stuff. And kind of learning how to pleasure each other, please each other, after play, all that stuff. If you want to start to explore different things, going into a tantra practice or, you know, learning how to really connect in the eyes and doing shared breath work and trying to elevate your consciousness with each other, is a way, way, way healthier way to kind of develop your sexual connection with somebody, develop your sexual like prowess and talents and skills and everything else and communication and everything. It's also a spiritual aspect, and sexuality is spiritual, and you have to remember that. So, you know, bringing in the porn and the toys, I'd say that that's not spiritual. And so maybe, you know, later just kind of for fun and for play and to kind of after years of being together or whatever. I mean, I'm saying this sort of broadly, generally, as people that might be listening that are kind of looking for direction. I recommend going the spiritual route first and the connecting with your partner really deeply first. Then you can start bringing in all the paraphernalia.
As a dating expert, I do agree. Sorry, Julia, you're right. My poor sick of love.
I'm just about ready to get off the air.
All right. As a dating expert, what I would say is I agree with you in terms of you should be connecting with your partner, but I do believe that has to do in terms of communication, just in terms of your just making sure it's a nice, solid relationship and that there's a lot of respect, making sure those pieces, those components of friendship, respect. Of course, you're going to have attraction as that grows as you get to know somebody, starting to do that. And use your own judgment. For some people, it may be within 6 weeks of being in a relationship. Other people maybe years, as Julia says. Right. So really, really, really gauge, but really try and keep the lines of communication open, because I think that's how you build a really solid, really good relationship. Mm. And going full circle for this whole thing in regards to the whole lying factor, it is pretty hard to lie when you're practicing tantra.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. Very important. Well, we hope you enjoyed tonight's show. I had a lot of fun with you, Caroline.
I've missed you. I've missed you a lot.
I think we had a good time tonight. It was a perfect blend of what we like to do together tonight. And we have, is next week the Halloween edition? No.
No, there's one more week after that.
We're hoping to have the Screaming Chicken Pivot Legal Society event and people, lawyers in and stuff. I think it'll be a very juicy, amazing show. I really hope you tune into that. The following show will be obviously on Halloween night, so listeners, we don't expect you to necessarily listen, and we hope you're going to be out doing a bunch of crazy stuff and wanting to report online to us at Julia at Juicebox Radio or on our fan base, our fan club on Facebook, Juicebox Radio Fan Club. Very easy to find us. Get in touch with us and let us know what you're up to, where you're going, what you want us to announce on air, all of that stuff through the fan club. Please do that, or just through juiceboxradio.com. You can see the email there. I'll get it and forward it on to Caroline if she's, well, I pretty much give her all of them anyway. So, yeah, and we don't know why we can't get your Caroline one.
I know. One of these days we'll figure out how to open up my Caroline at Juicebox. So, listeners, if you've ever written to me, I'm sorry. And I know there's have been a few people who have.
And they're like, where's our response? So, Helen's Claus' Misery Hour is not. It will be back next week on CITR. And
The sexy hour of 11 o'clock.
At the sexy hour of 11 o'clock. And he's flooded in. He has been stuck. So it's a legitimate excuse, and apparently we have to go out and drive in it right now. So thanks for coming.
That's it.
And we'll be back next week.
At the sexy hour of 10 o'clock.
And what are we playing? What are we doing?
Oh, I don't know what we're doing.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.